Let's start with the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening. This is the October 6th, 2025 public meeting of the planning board of the township of Clinton, county of Hunterdon, and state of New Jersey. Adequate notice of the meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act and that an annual notice was published in the Hunterdon County Democrat and Star Ledger. Notice of and an agenda for this meeting was posted on the township website, the bulletin boards at the front of the municipal building and the front door of the public safety building, and sent to the Hunterdon County Democrat and Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to this meeting. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Aversa?
Kevin, I can see it on this one. You got me.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Butcher?
Absent.
Glazer?
Here.
Groob?
Here.
Higgins?
Here.
Kleinham?
Here.
Malay?
Here.
McCaffrey?
Here.
Semay?
Here.
You have a quorum.
All right. So, John, our attorney, is remote. We've got several people from the public. I suspect they're here for one or two of these applications. I thought maybe we could tell them now, so if they want to leave, is that appropriate, John?
It's appropriate, but I'd like you to go through the formal letter requests, read them into the record, because we're going to make announcements on them, and I'd like the people to be able to hear what the announcements are and when the new hearing dates will be.
Okay, so can I...
You can go out of order. Why don't you start calling the applications, public hearings first?
I'll do the public hearings first. This is just to help you all, so you know if you're here. I don't have the letter in front of me. Candace, do you have one?
Yeah.
So this is application planning PB 2025-05, 311 Allerton LLC, 311 Old Allerton Road, Block 58, Lot 5. Thank you. The applicant seeking a preliminary and final site plan approval. And that's on. It's been scheduled. It's been noticed. But we got a letter today dated October 6th, 2025 from the attorney, Stephen Gruenberg.
Mr. Chairman, can you read that letter into the record, please?
I can, but you're going to get tired of hearing me talk on this.
That's all right.
So it's to the planning board. It's about 311 LLC application for preliminary and final major site plan with variances. Dear Candace, this office represents the applicant in regard to the above captioned matter, which is scheduled to commence its public hearing this evening. Having just received some of the board professionals' review correspondence, there are items that need to be addressed prior to the commencement of the public hearing. Accordingly, the applicant requests that this matter be adjourned to either the board's November 3rd or December 1st, 2025 hearing dates without the need for further notice of hearing, and that the appropriate announcement to be made this evening. Unless I hear to the contrary, I do not intend to appear this evening.
So my first question is, I believe Candace did a follow-up email to Mr. Gruenberg asking him, okay, what's your preference of those two dates? Candace, did he respond?
I actually asked the board.
Oh, okay. Well, so what's the board's preference? He's asked to be adjourned to one of two dates, November 3rd, or what's the other date?
December 1st.
December 1st.
And what did we, because
we decided December 1st.
So December 1st is the day we're going to put this one on for.
Okay, so the announcement will be then that the hearing in application PB 2025-05, 311 Allerton LLC, is going to be adjourned, and it will take place on December 1, 2025 at 7 p.m. in this room that you're all sitting in without the need for further notice, meaning if anyone's there because you got a notice, in the mail, you're not going to get a new notice. You're being given the notice now. Now, having said that, did the applicant require any variances with its preliminary and final site plan application?
Yes.
Okay. Did it require at least one C variance?
Yes.
Okay, which means the board has 120 days to decide the application from when that application was deemed complete. Candace, when was this application deemed complete?
If you pull Stan's memo, that was probably the...
That was the where we did the complete.
August 1st, 2025.
Okay, so 120 days is 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, 120 days is 4 months. So 4 months from August, what date did you say?
First.
11/29.
September, October, November, December. So The board has till December 1st, basically, give or take, to decide the application. So my suggestion is that the board direct Candace to email back to Steve Gruenberg, tell him that the board will hear it on 12/1/25, subject to the condition that the applicant tell her in writing that they're extending the time for the board to decide the application until March 31.
Yeah, he had sent a cover email, John, saying that they applicant hereby extends the time period to act through the end of December 2025. That's not enough time, I don't think.
No, correct, it's not enough time.
We can't get, I'll put it in English for folks, we don't get jammed because they pull an application and delay it.
Right,
the clock tolls.
Right, so, again, my suggestion is that the board tell Candace to say, okay, we've adjourned it, you don't have to give new notice,
but
it's going to be heard on December 1, 2025, however, that's subject to a condition that you send us in writing that you're extending the time for the board to act till March 31, 2026. And if he doesn't agree to that, then you dismiss this thing at your next meeting without prejudice.
Yeah. Candace, you got that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that'll work. That's...
Yeah. That's my advice.
Okay.
Kevin, why don't you call the next one?
All right.
First of all, is there anyone in the audience?
I don't know. Is anyone here for that application.
We're here for the Coleman.
For that application.
5311 Allen. Yeah. Anyone there, Kevin?
No.
Coleman is
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but I said, this is 311. The question is anybody here for the 311 Allerton?
No.
No one is.
Okay. Now call the next one.
So the next one is application PB 2025-06 Incel Steel East LLC, 1 Coleman Corporate Drive, Block 7, Lot 33. The applicant is seeking preliminary and final site plan approval. We received another letter on this, a different letter, on this application, dated October 6th, today, to Jonathan Drill regarding this application and this block lot. Dear Mr. Drill, from Diane Hickey, who is the attorney for the applicant, this firm represents Incel Steel East LLC. In connection with its preliminary and final major site plan application for the above referenced property. As you are aware, the application is currently scheduled to be heard at tonight's meeting of the Clinton Township Planning Board. Incel respectfully requests that the application be carried to the November 3rd, 2025 meeting of the Planning Board without the need for further notice. Please confirm receipt and that the application will be carried without need for further notice, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Are there any variances required in this application with the preliminary and final site plan application?
There's an existing yard setback. I'm not the expert. I don't think I saw a variance.
No new ones.
Yeah,
just reaffirming several that have already been granted previously.
Well, I think out of an abundance of caution, we should assume, for timing purposes, that there are no new variances. So I believe, because it's a preliminary and final, that the board has 95 days to decide the application. When was this application deemed complete?
September 5th.
Give me that again, please.
September 5th.
Okay, so that's approximately
3 months.
Which would be October, November, December. Let's say, give or take, December 10.
John?
So let me ask you this. They want November 3rd. So 12-10 is cutting that a little close. So on this one, my suggestion is that if the board is going to adjourn this to November 3, 2025, this one be sent with a letter saying it's subject to a condition that they extend the time for the board to act to February 28th, 2026. And again, if they don't grant that extension, then this would be dismissed without prejudice at the board's next meeting. That is my advice.
John, it's Stan. Just for clarity on the clock, the dates that you're calling out for this application as well as the first one, August 4th, September 5th, those are the dates of my letter where we deem the application complete. Is that when you're starting the clock, or you start the clock on the time of submittal of the application?
So when was the application deemed to be complete?
At the date of my letters, which you just pulled out.
What's the date on the letter?
This one we're talking September 5th,
but
it's not necessarily the date that the application was submitted. Now, I know you've run a 30-day clock for completeness. Does that count?
95-day clock for action.
So 30-day, so you're starting afresh from the date of that we deemed to complete.
Yes, so
okay.
I'm starting it from the date
okay.
you deemed to complete, which you said September 5th, is that correct?
That's correct, but as I said, that's not the date of their submittal.
So John, here's the question, just to clarify. Suppose somebody submits an application and it takes 2 months to deem complete. That doesn't count against the time.
That's the question.
Once it's deemed complete, then the clock starts as we're talking.
The clock.
Correct. There's two different time clocks.
Okay.
There's a time clock to determine completeness, which is 45 days from submission of the application, or if it's deemed incomplete, 45 days from the resubmission of the material. But the time clock to act on the application doesn't start until the application is deemed complete. That's why I'm assuming that Stan's letter on September 5 said that they were complete. Is that correct or incorrect?
That's correct.
That's why I'm saying the 95 days mm-hmm. starts on September 5, which would bring us to 12-10, but again, I'm not comfortable, even though they're seeking to go to November 3rd, you know, that's snow season already. What if, you know, you get snowed out or whatever? That's why I'm suggesting that if you grant the adjournment without need for further notice to November 3, 2025, that you do it on the condition that they give you, in writing, an extension of the time to act on the application to February 28, 2026.
Okay. Okay, is that okay with everybody on the board?
Yes.
All right. So for those in the audience who are here for that application, that will now be carried till November 3rd.
But November 3, 2025, with no need for new notice. So anyone who got a notice, you're not going to get the notice again.
Okie doke. All right. So Candace, you got that. We got those two. At least for those of you who are here, you can go home and have the rest of the evening.
Thank you so much, sir.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So it's my understanding that the...
Well, let's ask that a question. Can you identify yourself for the record,
yeah.
even though I recognize Karen Romano's voice?
Hi, John. How are you? So it's my understanding that there's been several complaints regarding noise on this application. Is there anything that you can do for my residents, 11
and okay. We can't comment on a pending application.
No, I understand. But you have a zoning law for noise.
I did speak with the applicant's attorney, Diane Hickey, and I asked her, you know, why she was seeking for the adjournment. She said she had heard about Lebanon residents having complaints, and she said that they wanted it adjourned because they, according to Diane Hickey, from Reiter Danzig, the attorney for Steel East LLC, they're going to reach out to Lebanon Borough to arrange to set up a meeting with anyone who has any complaints to try to work that stuff out before they come to commence this hearing on November 3, 2025.
I appreciate that.
There's nothing the planning board can do ahead of that hearing, because the planning board can only act and say things during a public hearing. If you have enforcement issues, then my advice is bring that to the attention of the zoning officer or the mayor and council. They can potentially do something about that, not the planning board. If you want the planning board to consider anything, then people making complaints or the people taking complaints. Karen, you're the borough clerk in Lebanon Borough, is that correct?
I am.
Who takes complaints when people call in Lebanon Borough?
Obviously me. No, the zoning officer. That was my question, John, was that I was wondering if the zoning officer is sitting here tonight and if there is a zoning ordinance with regard to complaints.
So here's my suggestion. My suggestion is submit something to the Clinton Township zoning officer, submit something to the mayor and council, but don't submit anything to the planning board. Well, if you submit something to the planning board, it's not going to be distributed to the planning board members until the night of the hearing. Hopefully, you guys will, you know, successfully work something out with the applicant before the hearing. If you don't, then you guys just show up, because you're entitled to ask questions of all the witnesses, and you're also, the people that have complaints are entitled to testify and tell the board about it, and if they think that something should be denied or a condition should be imposed if it's granted, then that's what they should be telling the planning board on November 3, 2025, if you can't work something out ahead of time.
And since you brought it up, I'll just note, one resident did reach out to the, and copied me at least, so one resident that I'm aware of reached out to the zoning officer. The zoning officer is not present in the room.
Okay, that's my own question. Yep, thank you so much.
We have the deputy zoning officer in the room, but not the...
Brian, make clear that they reached out to you in your capacity as mayor, not the class one.
That is correct.
Right,
that is correct.
This is not really a discussion. We will consider it as part of the application, but not...
Right.
But I, the zoning officer...
Karen, does that answer your question, Karen?
Yes, thank you very much, John.
Okay.
Good. All right, so you're welcome to stay, all of you. We're gonna go back into regular order here. We have some meeting minutes for approval. August 18, 2025. These were out there. I think anybody had chances for comments to Candace. Any questions or concerns on those minutes? If not, is there a motion? It looks like the eligible folks are on the agenda.
Who can vote? Because it seems like there's a pretty good number here. So who can vote? Who can't?
Everybody on the eligible can, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion. For the 18th?
Yes.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Mr. Aversa and Ms. Kleinhand. Roll call.
Aversa?
Yes.
Glazer?
I recuse from the application, so I don't think I vote.
Correct. You're going to abstain. On the vote of the minutes.
Yep.
Kleinhand?
Yes.
Malay?
Yes.
McCaffrey?
Yes.
Semay?
Yes. Thank you. Approved. September 8th, the second set. September 8th, 2025, regular meeting minutes. Same drill. They're out there. Anybody have any questions or comments? If not, look at the eligible vote. Everybody here who's listed can vote. Is there a motion to approve the September 8th minutes?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. McCaffrey. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Glazer. Roll call.
Aversa?
Yes.
Glazer?
Yes.
Groove?
Yeah.
Higgins?
Yes.
Kleinhands?
Yes.
McCaffrey?
Yes.
Semay?
Yes. That's our approved. All right, we have a resolution for consideration, application 2025-07, resolution 2025-06, Ingerman Development Company, LLC, 3 Gray Rock Road, Block 74, Lot 19, Resolution memorializing grant of preliminary site plan approval of C2 variance for fence type, C1 variance for fence location, site plan exceptions for buffer planting to allow construction of 100% affordable multifamily development. Now, this resolution was...
What version and what date?
So the version that's out there is somebody faster than me. I think it was four.
I think it's two.
Kevin, I think it's labeled four in the box, but when you open up the document, the header says two.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's version four, correct, that's, you're right, Tom. And what's the date?
9/30.
Yeah. Now, a couple people had some, I think, Mr. Aversa, and I forget who else, a couple people had some minor revisions. I hope you guys remembered them. Unfortunately, I said, oh, take care of it tonight, because I figured I was gonna be there. Of course, I'm not now. You guys remember?
Do you want to go through it quickly? There was a couple, I had one or two, I know Sue had a couple. Maybe we should just, can you do that, John, with us, and we'll just try to...
Yeah, but the thing is... Oh, man. You guys give the changes, let's give the changes, and we're gonna have Candace just mark up the copy, and she'll scan and send it to me, and then I'll put it into final tomorrow.
That's fine. So Candace, do you have a copy that you can write on?
I do.
All right. So why don't we go down from the top? I apologize to all you guys, but let's see if we can, there's not a lot.
Right, this is gonna become version five with today's date on it.
Right. So at the beginning, you gotta put did we get the application number on it? I didn't see the, I don't have the live one.
Candace, the application number is 2025-07, that has to be added, and that was from Candace.
Right. Then in that first, in the capital, and this is silly, but might as well, this is, Sue and I both get 25 cents for this. There's two N's on location.
Right, that's right.
Okay. You know, I know this is a little picky, but I don't know why we define the AH-12 zone the second time. That's at the end of that first whereas, you know...
You're right about that, too.
You have it in the first one, yeah, and there's a double parens and quotation mark under the first one. Do you see that, Candace?
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure everything you guys are saying, make sure Candace...
We are. I got the brain power all around me. I'm just the voice. So go ahead, somebody else jump in. I'm running out of patience. I've been talking too much tonight.
I think the double parens are correct. This one matches that one, this one matches that one.
Oh, you're right, good point. I rescind that adjustment to my grammatical friend next door.
Takes 10 people to do this.
All right.
Thank goodness for Mr. McCaffrey.
Yes, he gets 25 cents, too. All right.
He gets 50 cents for that.
So keep going, you guys, carry on. Anybody have anything else? Do you want to...
We get to page 18, I found one.
I've got one on page five.
All right, we're going to page five.
Top of page five, in that section 3B, we talk about C1 variance, but then in the last sentence, we refer to a C2 variance. I just wasn't sure if that was correct.
Yeah, the whole paragraph is talking about C1s.
Yep, should be C1.
Should be C1. That's a good catch. You get 75 cents.
Which paragraph is that?
You see that one?
Which paragraph?
The top paragraph on page five.
Paragraph 3B on the top of page five.
Okay.
We got it here, too. We'll check. All right, who else? Anybody else? We're on page five. Anybody else? We're gonna keep turning. We're gonna go to page 18? Okay.
Okay, so John, at the top of page, starting on page 15, I sent an email about this, you start to list conditions, and then you start to include sections from professional reports with the numbers presumably as they were included. And when you get to the bottom of page 17, you're up to number
where is this here?
16.
16, and then on the next page, it jumps to number 2. I'm sorry, the bottom of page 18 is a number 7. Then on page 19, you're at number 2. And I think what's happened is you've switched topics here.
Yes.
And it's not clear that you've changed topics here and why number 2 is the appropriate. So you need a heading or something in here to kind of get us back on track.
Okay, so put an underline, put heading in caps, question mark, underline it right there, Candace, and I'll figure that out.
You see that? It's the number 2 on top of 19. Mm-hmm. I think the comments are all correct, just the navigation.
It's another section. It's another section of the report, and I forgot to put the header in. That's what it
yes,
sounds like.
Yes, right, exactly.
Anything else?
Oh, Sinead, is your name spelled right?
In the footer, yeah. Holy cow.
What did I do, an IE instead of an EI? We'll
ask the next planning board attorney how to spell it. It will be difficult. No, that's why, just...
Too incorrect, Sinead.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining us here, too. All right. Anything else?
That's enough.
Yeah, I know. It's mostly a little grammatical stuff.
Yeah, right. Nothing of substance. This is a good group effort.
Yes. All right. So with those changes, is
oh, by the way, Candace, come on the top. D5, 10625. Write that in.
I did.
For me. Okay. Great.
Are we sure we got them all?
Want to do it again?
Have someone make a motion.
I'm trying to get a motion. Is that so? With all that, is there a motion? Thank you, Mr. McCaffrey. Is there a second? Thank you, Mr. Aversa.
Can I?
You can. You're one, right? So you can. Rick isn't.
And he's recused.
The eligibles are on here. I'm sorry. So that was McCaffrey and Mr. Aversa. Okay. Roll call.
Aversa?
Yes.
Kleinhans?
Yes.
Malay?
Yes.
McCaffrey?
Yes.
Sime?
Yes. All right. That resolution passes. Thank you for the group effort.
All right.
Okay. Now, we have a request for extension of time, application 2023-02, resolution 2023-02, Annandale Village LLC, block 53, lot 3.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to recuse.
All right, Mayor Malay is going to recuse from this. And we have the applicant here.
Who is the attorney representing the applicant?
Anthony Peter Paul.
Can you spell your last name?
Peter Paul. P-E-T-E-R-P-A-U-L.
Okay. Okay, so you need an extension of some conditions set forth in resolution 2023-02, correct?
Correct.
Which conditions do you need extended?
It's condition 10 on page 15 of that resolution.
Okay, and?
It says specifically the applicant shall obtain zoning and construction permits for the proposed development by July 24th, 2025.
And you want that extended to what date?
Say 120 days from today.
So you want 4 months. Why don't you say 4 months from when the resolution granting the extension is granted?
Okay, that works.
Okay, and state the reason for the extension?
Yeah, there have been some significant delays, and I have to tell you, none of which were really the responsibility of the applicant. One of the conditions for the approval was the obtaining a sewer easement from a neighboring property owner. That easement agreement took roughly 2.5 years to obtain. And just so this board knows, as a condition of granting that easement, the property owner asked for certain improvements to be made to the property, My client agreed to do those at his own cost in order to facilitate the execution of that easement agreement. And I will have the board know I just received the recorded easement agreement October 1st.
Good.
Okay, is there any other condition in that resolution that you need extended?
I honestly, I read it. I don't recall that there was anything else. Can you think of anything else?
Okay. So, do any board members have any questions that they want to ask, or any board professionals have any questions they want to ask?
You're confident on your 20 days?
The only issue has recently, Mr. Fernandez, who's the member of the applicant, learned on Friday that the building department, the construction department, is going to require sprinklers to be installed in the project. I've asked him, he's convinced that you can get the plans for those sprinklers in a short period of time.
I expect to have them very quickly, so.
Okay. Just don't want you to come back again.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. There's been a couple of mayors who have been through this.
It's been a hanging out.
And a few attorneys have retired during the course of this.
I drive through Annandale Village, I just keep waiting to see it, so.
Nice. I agree. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, we appreciate it. It's going to be a nice improvement.
All right, so we have a 120-day extension.
From the date in the resolution is going to be adopted, not from tonight, so it gives them more time.
March 3rd or thereabouts. Okay.
So, anyway, if there's no other questions, is there? I know this didn't have to be noticed, but can you just ask if anybody, is there any public on this?
There's nobody from the public I'm looking, unless Lebanon Borough is.
Yeah, cool. That's fine.
Thank you.
So, all right,
thank you, Mr. Hang on. Thank you.
So the technical motion is going to be to modify condition number 10 to grant an extension of the July 24-25 date 4 months from the date this modification and extension resolution is adopted. Is that going to be the motion?
Yes. That's my motion. Hopefully it can be adopted in 2 weeks, the next meeting, if we're meeting in 2 weeks.
Well, put it this way. I will try, but as you know,
there's a little Mr. Blazer,
we have some other things going on.
Yeah. Well, the longer it goes, the more advantageous it is to.
Well, it is if he wants to pull permits. Well, he's got to wait for the sprinkler. So.
I'll second Mr. Blazer's motion.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Roll call.
Aversa?
Yes.
Glazer?
Yes.
Groob?
Yes.
Higgins?
Amen, which means yes.
Kleinhans?
Yes.
McCaffrey?
Yes.
Sine?
Yes.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Ken, let me ask you something. At this point, can I hop off or do you need me for the rest?
No, we're gonna go to school on stormwater or something.
Yes. So if something comes up and you need me or want me, just call or text.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Have a good night, everybody.
It was great seeing you. Yeah. See you.
Okay. Bye.
I'm gonna leave, Austin. I've had enough school and stormwater.
No, he's going to not be able to pull his permits because he's past the expiration.
Yeah, but he's got to wait for sprinklers anyways, so he's got to get that plan set at the top. So, realize that you probably do it for yourself.
You can't pull up top, you're not issue with the resolution being done.
So I've been just anxiously awaiting this present. It's been teased for months. It's showing up on the preliminary agendas. And when I told people at work today why I was smiling, it was because I was going to learn about MS4 or whatever this is.
Is this presentation more riveting than the one you gave council?
Well, we gave this presentation to the governing body back in July. Previously, it was on the Ed Sullivan Show, February 64.
Yeah.
But you've heard us talk about stormwater with our applications and the intensity in which we do stormwater reviews is geared up over the years. I don't want to get into what we actually review during planning board, but I want to give a little primer on why we're doing this and why the the state's coming down on us. So, not coming down on us, we're encouraging more concentration on stormwater. So Clinton, New Jersey, Clinton Township, New Jersey, as well as any other town, has a permit to discharge stormwater to waters of the United States. So we collect water in storm sewers and catch basins and inlets. There's a pipe conveyance system. There's outfalls that go out to streams. Streams feed into other streams, into rivers, eventually out into the ocean. So the state is regulating that. They've been regulating that since 2004. And every few years, they add more requirements for it. And they've added significant requirements back in 2003. One of the requirements is that we give some education to the people that make decisions in the town, the mayor and council, planning board, board of adjustment. Most towns, they can do the planning board and board of adjustment in one show, and here we don't have a combined board, so the planning board has to hear that in one part. So we have a PowerPoint that my staff helped put together and pretty much changed the name depending on what town we're giving this to. So this is pretty... That's what I'm being honest with you. This is pretty basic. So if you go through with this with me, the first slide two is the basis of what an MS4 permit is. Now, MS4, it sounds like a street gang, but it's Municipal Separate Storm Source System. That's the four. That's the four S's. And the requirements of the permit is that we have to have a stormwater pollution prevention plan. That was first filed, as it should have been, back in 2004, the basic one. Mont McDonald was updating that over the years, and we have some more updates that we're going to do before the end of this year. There's rules and regulations that are required by ordinance. We'll talk a little bit more about that. You're up to date with that. There's going to be a street sweeping requirement due at the end of this year, which we'll tell you a little bit more about. Storm drains have to be cleaned. DPW community-wide measures, that's part of that cleaning and inspections. MS4 mapping, this has been ongoing this year. This requirement's been around for a little while. You have had the outfalls at least located on a map, however accurate they were. They were shown on the map, so we had an idea. Now, every asset that the town has relating to stormwater management has to be located by GPS. We have to get the coordinates mapped. So it's available for DPW to have for inspection purposes. And actually, it's a great tool when we're doing road projects. When a developer comes in, everything's going to be mapped. And a little later in the year, you'll see what this mapping is. We'll show the results to when we roll that out to everyone. So that's going on now. And then the state's going to roll in, based on that mapping, what they call watershed improvement plans. Now, every outfall gets fed into it by a series of inlets. It comes to a point, everything feeding into that's a watershed. So they're going to look for what we're doing to maintain that, monitor it, and regulate who may be coming into that. And that's going to change, and we have a couple more years to put the plan together. But ideally, just an example, I've been more involved with Tewksbury for a few years, I think. Well, no big deal. We don't have any industry or anything. But we have a lot of horses that poop, and that gives runoff, and so it's something that we have to regulate, but just as an example. All right, back to the basics. So what's the MS4 system? Over on slide number three now. It's all municipally operated pipe structures and facilities that convey stormwater following a rain event. We are now a Tier A municipality. We were always, I believe, a Tier A. Some towns have been Tier B, the ones that have less development, but everybody now is a Tier A. I don't particularly align with that. I think the runoff requirements and cleaning requirements in Clinton is much different than Patterson. You know, what you pick out of your inlet is a little different than what you'd be picking out of the inlet there. But nonetheless, we're monitored the same way. The permit's on a 5-year cycle. It has to be renewed every year, though. We have to do a, we have to file a permit renewal, not permit renewal application, we have to give an update every April, which we've been doing. Who's responsible to oversee it? Well, right now, your stormwater program coordinator is, and in most municipalities, that's a municipal engineer. So we've been filing that. We were actually audited. I expected it this year since I'm the new guy. Mr. Glazer sat in on the audit with us, and it actually went very well. And one of the reasons it went well is because the DEP has this, and they saw it for some of our other municipalities, and they know that we're, with my firm, we're pretty much on top of this, keeping our towns aligned properly. So the Stormwater Pollution Prevention Plan, the SPPP, I'm on page four now, that lists all the, everything that the town is doing to maintain the system. So that will have the mapping, identifies what we're doing in the municipal DPW yard to prevent any kind of, any runoff of materials, and it also lists all the ordinance that we have in place. And that has to be posted on the township website, which it is. The state now requires a separate space on the website related to stormwater pollution. It's not that obvious here. I think we have to make that stand out a little bit better for Clinton, but that's something we're going to look at. Page five is just a pretty poster that came from the EPA, but it shows you when you walk your dog and your dog leaves something in the gutter, it has an effect and winds up going into the stream, and the little ducks there can pollute the water and the little dog and stuff like that. So everybody's got an issue with, can help with stormwater runoff. I mean, when I was a kid, you know, my father said, well, you put the car over there to drain the oil out of it, and you really can't do that anymore. Back in the 50s, you could, but you couldn't do that. On page six is the ordinances that you actually do have in place now. I'm sure the planning board's seen that because these are land use regulated, so when the ordinance was introduced, it came down after first reading for the board to review before it went back up again to become an ordinance. So you do have an ordinance on yard waste, and that's you can't stockpile materials on your sites, and if we have stockpiled material, we have to give you a fine for doing that. So you have a regulated amount of time you can store material on your property.
Yeah, when you say material, what would count as material?
Yard waste.
Like grass clippings?
Big piles. They can't leave that there forever.
Like sticks?
Yeah, sticks that you can't leave. They don't want that in the gutter. So you have it back on your yard, it's fine. You don't want to see it out in the gutter. It's gutter. It's going to restrict flow.
Yeah, okay.
And other things. Illicit connections, that prohibits connections to the storm sewer system of something else. A good example I've seen are people will tie their stormwater, their sump pumps into the municipal system. On an extreme, I had a gentleman in Phillipsburg thought it was a good idea to discharge a sanitary system out into the gutter. Something you really don't want to do. So we check for illicit connections on a very, very dry period. We'll go out and inspect the outfall. So you don't expect water to be flowing out. Is water flowing out? Where's it coming from? And we'll have to look back and check that. But you're more concerned in areas where you might have some industrial buildings that could be tied into that, which we have very little of here if we have anything. I talked with Jay. He doesn't remember having to report anything on illicit connections. Improper disposal of waste. You can't dump material into a river or something. That's regulated. We have to have an ordinance for that. Pet waste. You have to pick up after your dog. I brought this up in Tewksbury. I figure, well, a horse might be equal to 12 dogs or something because the horses run around and do what they have to do. I got in trouble for even saying that, but looking further into this applies to domesticated animals. So if you have a goat in your goat can poop, but your dog can't. So I think that might change, but it's again, this is looking at inner city type of things. You don't think as much about what's out in the countryside. But we do have a pest ordinance in place. Wildlife feeding, you're not supposed to feed the geese. You're not supposed to have them do what they do as far as the runoff. Dumpsters and refuse containers, we now have that in place. Every dumpster has to be covered. Yes?
In our deer program, we allow feeding. We allow people to bait deer.
That's what?
I think that's different.
What?
That's what I'm trying to get.
Yeah, I think that's different. For a hunting program on open space property, I think you're allowed to bait deer for hunting purposes.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, that's fine?
Yeah, but if you have your dog with you, and the dog goes out to the street, make sure you pick it up.
Yeah, that's more for folks who might throw loaves of bread out in the yard for deer to eat, so that, you know, the deer don't starve.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gotcha. I wouldn't worry about.
Okay. I wouldn't know anybody.
Yeah. Private storm drain inlet retrofitting. I'm going to talk about inlets in a little while. All our inlets now have certain heads on it that prevents material from getting into the unwanted material from getting into the storm sewer system. Private developments have to comply with that now. Or if a developer's coming in to resurface their parking lot or something like that, we're going to have to look at it to reset that. So they want to bring all private developments up to speed on that. St. Luke's is going to have that. All the construction that's going on now will be correct. We have a litter control ordinance that hasn't changed much since the ones we've always had in town. Privately owned salt storage sheds. If you have a landscaping business or something, you have to store your salt properly. And tree removal and replacement, that varies from town to town. Your ordinance is actually fairly competent. It requires any trees that have to be removed, zoning officer has to approve that. I don't know if you've seen an application come through recently, but you can take trees out of a certain size. If you go beyond that, you have to have a replacement program. And the idea is that trees help absorb runoff and help with pollution control. What we look at in development here, the NJAC 7:8, that's the state stormwater management regulations. That comes into effect if a development will increase impervious coverage by 1/4 acre or have a disturbance of 1 acre. When that happens, we have to get into the new stormwater rules, which makes us look at the application for water quantity regulation, and more importantly now is water quality. So we have to have infiltration of water. Design storms have increased from 8 inches of water in a 100-year storm being 8 inches of rainfall in 24 hours. That's been kicked up to 12 inches of rainfall in 24 hours. Probably going to change it again in 2030, but it does recognize that we're getting more intense storms. I think everyone knows that. So stormwater inlets and infiltration have to be 50% larger than what they were before. And then green infrastructure gives methods to remove particles and try to treat the water before it hits any of our inlets or is even recharged. So one good example recently, and you were involved with that, was the addition, the new Polytech school up at the high school. They were here. I wasn't here for that, but in 2020, beginning of 2024, I think they came back in, and the board gave specific conditions. And one thing that Larry, my predecessor, pointed out, you're in under the new rules. You have to do something for green infrastructure on the parking lot. And they pushed back on that. They say, no, we made our application actually back in 2021 before the new regulation was in effect. We don't have to comply with that. We have a very good attorney who pointed out that the time of application rule is applicable to town regulations, 7:8 is a state regulation that comes in at time of decision, so they were responsible to do that. And if you go into that parking lot, you'll see some green infrastructure now. They did comply. There's a rain garden type of area that provides for infiltration of the water and cleaning of the water. They were required to give me an operations and maintenance manual back, and we were able to sign off on that additional work. But that's what the rules do. We had an application here not that long ago, CRC Development. Was that here, the Board of Adjustment? I think it was here.
Come back.
Right. Yeah, they came in here. We had to call a timeout because they weren't in compliance with the new regulations. We had to go back and resolve that. So that's been a lot. That may result in change. It's more development. It's more work for the developers to do. It's going to take up more area of sites. But what's important as well is that the reviewer, in my case me, and people that work for me, we had to go through training and registration with DEP. So they're holding us out as an extension of DEP. And I'm subject to audit as to how we review the application. So they can come in and pull anything out and make sure we went through everything. So everybody's up on this thing now, and hopefully it works out for the better. So that was page, I just covered page 8 on that as well. And we're responsible for the review and signing off on that. We're also responsible during construction to inspect the sites to make sure they're done properly. And at the end, we're responsible to make sure they're following what they have to do under their operations and maintenance manual. They'll have to give us a report. So we'll go back and we'll log all those in, and every year they have to update that. They'll have to keep track of that. Over to page 9, this is going to cost the town a little bit more money here, but street sweeping standards. So previously on any town roads that were curbed at speed limits less than 35 in a predominantly commercial area, the road had to be swept once a year. Now the state's looking at the entire town. And now that we have the mapping done, we can show what we're doing. So they're looking at annual and triannual sweeping. So they want triannual sweeping anywhere where an inlet directly feeds to a drainage item, a small stream, a creek. If we discharge directly into that, we have to sweep 3 times a year. If it's an inlet that discharges to a swale, a grass swale, that's got a chance to flow overland and pull materials out, we can sweep once a year. Now, there's one caveat there. If that's for paved roads, they're not looking at chip sealed roads as being paved. So if you have a road that's chip sealed, there's no regulatory requirement for that. i.e. it's a little rougher, so some of the material might come out. They're comparing a town like Tewksbury, where your sweepings will be whatever falls off a tree or something, to city of Patterson, where, I don't want to say anything wrong, but you could have rules and other things that are floating around, but you still have to sweep 3 times a year. So we're finishing the MS4 mapping now, where we GPS locate everything. We have an idea of where all our outfalls are. We'll be putting that map together. We'll give the regulated roads to Jay, and then we'll have to figure out how we're going to get all these things swept and under compliance. And I remember giving the list of roads to the DPW director over in Tewksbury, and I say, you have 54 miles of road to do. And he said, no, I have 108 miles of road because I have to sweep both sides. I said, that's a really relevant point. But the state still doesn't have any questions. I mean, you can send the guy down the road. If he doesn't see anything, does he drop it and sweep it? Doesn't make any sense. So we're trying to figure out how we're going to do that. but it could be an opportunity for some towns to get together and really try to understand that. So this has to be implemented on or before January 1st, 2026. So we're almost there to do that. Page 10, that just shows you what the inlet requirements are. I think you're familiar with what the new MS4 head is that restricts any objects of getting into the system, particularly a bottle of water or something. And the bicycle safe grates have been there for a while. It's not a stream flow, prevents a bicycle tire from getting caught up. All inlets have to be replaced by 20, all these have to be done by 2028. Most towns have been replacing them as we do a road. We have a road under construction. We just did regional road to make sure all the catch bases are correct. We're going to start up in Glen Eagles area. All the basins will be correct. Jay just did some chip seal. He went out to look at the inlets. All the inlets will be correct. So but we have to pick that up a little bit more now. We have a couple of years to get that done. On page 11, there's some other DPW measures that have to be done. One's herbicide applications. It's not really applicable to Clinton. De-icing material, if Jay's out in the during the winter time putting salt down, he has to go out within 72 hours. It means he didn't leave clumps anywhere. If the spreader is spreading in the back and he stops it and stops, it's going to leave something there unless he turns it off. So we have to pick that up. And one of the watershed associations went out last winter and took pictures of all this and reported it to the state. So that's just something we have to get used to. Roadside vegetation, he has to make sure that goes back to that ordinance where you can't be storing material. We have to look for that. And roadside erosion control, we do inspect the shoulders, look for any kind of wear there and make sure that's working. Page 12 mentions the MS4 mapping, which I just bored you with. And page 13 is what's coming up in the next few years under the watershed improvement plan. So you'll see the first go around on this at the beginning of the year where we take the mapping that we do and actually show where the watersheds are during next year and the following year. We'll have to get some public outreach as to what we're going to do to make sure the water quality stays as it's supposed to or what the state expects during that period of time. And that's it.
Expect to have it wrapped up? You're going to make great progress.
No, we're almost there. We have a couple of issues with the outfalls. We thought the outfalls were correct and they're not, so we have to pick those up. We weren't handed the accuracy that we thought we did. So I expect the mapping's going to be done within a week or so, and then we'll meet with Jay and roll that out. So going forward, Public Works will have the mapping, there'll be the state dictionary, and they can go out to any inlet and do their updates and put it right to their iPad.
What's the penalty to the municipality if they doesn't do the street sweeping as prescribed?
I don't know what it's going to be yet.
On stormtroopers.
Yeah. Yes. I have no idea. All I want to say is we have a plan in place, and that's as far as we have to go at this point. I suspect you'll see some pushbacks from municipalities when they realize what the cost is going to be for that.
And the requirement really is not to have the streets be a certain degree of clean. It's to do the activity.
To remove the debris and do the activity and check it out.
It's different. Like, if the street is clean, you still have to do it three times, which you raise versus...
Well, that's a very good point.
So, well, we've done it three times. And they say, but your streets are dirty. I did it three times.
Exactly.
I
standard of cleanliness.
It's not. It's a standard of activity.
Correct.
It sounds like a corporate design.
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, how many miles of roadway do we have? 110, I think, Stan? 110 miles of road banking, something like that?
So we'll break that out, and I'll have the map done. We can see how many we have to do under the tertiary.
It doesn't all sweep, right? It doesn't have storm drains.
Right. If it's chip sealed, it doesn't need to be done.
Right.
for now. We think they're cracked out of that subdivision.
Do you want to talk about chip seal or?
No.
Well, okay. Does this include a cul-de-sac if it's paved?
Doesn't matter. If the drain goes to a waterway, which all of ours pretty much do.
So yeah, I have two that go into.
Then it has to be swept three times a year unless it is chip sealed, in which case right now we can do it once a year.
I live on a street. I live in Long Valley. At the end of my street, behind a property, there's a detention basin. So you go over the hill, you get into that drainage, all the drainage goes down, gets collected, discharges out to a detention basin. That street you would have to sweep once a year. However, when you come in, there's two catch basins, goes through a pipe, works behind the house, and discharges into a little bit of a stream. So you're not going to sweep the first part three times a year because you got to go down and turn around the cul-de-sac anyway, so that street becomes three times a year, but it gets down to detail like that. You have to look at that.
Particularly on cul-de-sacs at the end, you've got a lot of discharges to groundwater, dry wells. Do they need to do anything?
No. It's only the ones that are going to discharge into the stream.
But even those are still once a year, right?
It's still once a year. If it's not, that's correct. If it's not discharging to that stream, that's the one that
does
comes
it
tertiary.
Does it change how we do it?
Unless it's chip seal.
Because I did it. I do it.
Street sweeper?
I clean my street.
Does it change how we look?
Because
the rocks?
No, the grave gets all filled up with leaves and everything else. Well, I clean
all backs up.
Well, they have to be cleaned every year. Okay, so and that's part of, they have to be inspected each year. So this year, my firm did all the inspections. So you're getting that. Going forward, Jay's going to have to pick that up and go out with his guys. And you have to do a quarter of the town a year. Make sure that's all inspected and cleaned out. So they'll have the means of doing that now. You'll have to buy them some iPads and get onto the system that controls that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is this going to change how we look at future developments, though?
Is that what I say, Ryan?
Is this going to change how we look at future developments?
Yeah, it has already. So yeah. If you look at our reports, again, the regulations come into effect if you're more than a quarter acre development or an acre of disturbance. Below that, it's up to us and our own regulations how we treat that.
And what are our regulations? These reports the state standard off, right? We don't go lower.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's no retrofitting private developments.
Yes.
Any word of that?
Well, we have Well, the inlets have to be retrofitted.
Right, but they don't like detention bases.
No. Okay. No. Thank God.
That's a huge.
Yeah. But going forward, like a detention basin now, if you design it, it's going to be 50% larger.
Oh, exactly. That's
yeah.
Big, but the old ones, there's no maintenance plans or anything like that.
Yep.
They're really
bad. The other thing, too, is private, you can't have private detention bases. This will do, a lot of developments will come in and one house will be left with a detention base and somebody might buy it and go, oh, gee, I have a really big lot. You just have to cut a little more grass. Well, they're responsible for that detention base. And the state won't do that anymore. It has to have a homeowners association minimum that would maintain that. All right, guys. So we'll log this in. The councils are training when we have to do our report at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, just have to bore the Board of Adjustment before the end of the year with it. Thank you.
All right, so we have presentation. I wanted to bring up something to ask some of our longstanding folks here. What's been the reports from the professionals, some of them seem to be coming later, and it came to a head this cycle here. But these, a couple of folks have said, we just got things Friday afternoon. You know, we got some reports Sunday afternoon. I always thought it was an earlier, going back years, it was a week ahead, it was...
We used to have it in the paper, if I remember.
Well, yeah, so I think we need to, and I'm asking the board, I think we need to enforce that, and it, because I have tried, and I'm not as one, but I'd rather it be the board going through Candace to the professionals to say, you know, no more Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, by that time, I'm...
Right, I'm done reviewing.
I'm done reviewing. And in fairness to our applicants, they shouldn't have to be hearing something like 24 hours before they show up. So
I thought it was in the rules and regs.
Some of us have day jobs that don't allow us to read.
To even go look at it or to print it out. So I think we ought to either use what's in the rules and regs, if there is one, or say, it's got to be in a week before, or the Monday of the week before.
Week before doesn't get on the agenda.
I don't think it's in the regulations. I think the professionals' report, I might be wrong, but the professionals' reports have to be in by a certain day, but, excuse me, the applicants' reports need to be in, but I don't believe our regulations say the professionals'.
We need a rule of that.
Right.
Agreed.
This is kind of unfair to the board and unfair to the applicant.
Absolutely. I've been for several years trying to push them to get them in by Friday morning at least, so we could have them all in the board box, so you could look at it Friday even, or look at it over the weekend. But we've been getting them in later, and then they come in Friday afternoon, which doesn't help. It's late in the day, so, you know, even if we don't decide now, I think we ought to come up with perhaps a week ahead, because they've had the materials for a while.
I think the week ahead makes a lot of sense. The question is, can they accommodate that?
Well, you ask for a week ahead and then miss it, and this will be better off than you were.
And then maybe we ask them to do that, and then we get some legitimate pushback. But, for example, Stan does them right away because he does it as part of his completeness and review. So the plans are all in. It's really a matter of them being able to look at it and get it done.
Why don't you make it, just a suggestion, make it easy. Now, we could have the professionals' reports subject to the chairman, you know, getting a waiver on, you know, so one page from landscape and who cares.
Right. And even, you know, some of these ones that we get at the end of fire, if the fire guy's going to say fine, it's okay, we have a little flexibility. It's really some of the more major ones that are going to impact.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of the way the world changed. I still get my reports out a week before. I said to the chair before, you know, I'm old school. One time you had to put a stamp on the report and mail it out, so you had to get it out a week ahead of time. But now, yeah, I figured just email it to somebody. But I talked to Steve Gruenberg, and he said, you know, what am I supposed to do? I just got the report. I have to make changes, so that's why we put the thing off.
Yeah, it's not fair. It's not fair.
I think a week before is reasonable.
Let's try, and maybe we'll communicate it, you and I, to say, let's try this, you know what I mean?
They need to submit their plans how early? The applicant needs to put in 21 days. So then Candace is turning on sending it, still gets to a professional for another 11 or 12 days. They're like almost 2 weeks.
Yeah, they still have that much more. Correct. That's why I'm saying it's...
Yeah, so in theory, if everything comes in on time, and guess what? And it's all electronic now, too. It's not in the mail.
And that's what I think has changed. And then with electronic, you can just wait till the last minute. It's send, and it's...
Send it to everybody on the weekend, because you've got all their email addresses.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Just to be clear, you say a week ahead. If you have a meeting Monday night, 7 p.m.
It would be the month that, by the close of business that previous Monday.
Okay. Sounds right.
That's reasonable. You know, I think that's reasonable.
By law, the regs are 21 days before that.
For the applicant.
Yeah.
Right. Not for our professionals.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So they still have 2 weeks there. Well, they still have
close to two weeks.
That
sounds right.
That will also give Candace time if she wants to load the box or for us to review.
Right.
So if we can...
And then, you know, if you and Candace enforce it by just not putting it on the agenda. Unless it's a minor deviation, if you're satisfied.
Right. But the worry then is we run up against the clock. So what we have to do is push back on our professionals. And we've been trying. We sent them out this cycle of reminders.
I did, yeah.
So
I'd like a suggestion that you should call Dan McTiernan and make sure that he is in agreement.
So both boards.
Yeah, I will check with him to make sure
it's the same.
I don't want to.
Right.
I'll talk to Dan. If he's okay with that, we'll go with it. All right, so we have vouchers. We have a lot of vouchers.
I move to pay the bills.
Second. I will take that. Roll call.
Aversa?
Yes.
Glazer?
Yes.
Groove?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Feinhans?
Yes.
Malay?
Yes.
McCaffrey?
Yes.
Semay?
Yes. Bills are paid. Anything, any reports? Anything from council?
Two retirements from Public Works coming up, so we've just hired two new folks to replace them.
You've had a couple retire over the last 2 years.
There's a couple more coming, I think. So it's that, they're in there.
It's worth that time.
They're in that, wheelhouse. Yeah, he did. That was years ago. He retired.
I don't remember when Joe retired.
You remember Joe?
Yeah, I remember.
And then we just hired a person to come in for the administrative office in the administrative assistant role, kind of help the clerk. Interviewing for court. Because they need to add some staff, and we've got some interviews to reopen for construction code, TACO, technical assistant. We had a departure after pregnancy, kind of thing. So, playgrounds on the agenda for the 8th to get that done and rolling. Ingerman's on the agenda.
Which means we have to do a cap review for the ground too. We've got to get that on the agenda for a year.
No, you're right.
We do. So Mr. Stan left us
with the bar, man, I guess, huh?
No, we did not. We've not done a cap review for the playground yet, so we'll have to put that on our docket for sometime in the next few months.
Before we begin, for sure.
Did some work on the playground already.
Yeah, we're looking at the parking, but I haven't done anything more since.
Yeah.
Oh, well, but the vendor was going to give us something on that, so we need to regroup on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because they had some plans on the surface and all that stuff. I remember their package.
Around Wednesday.
What's that?
Around Wednesday morning.
I'll call you.
Okay.
In person. Yep.
It's never ending. We're going to make one final tweak, hopefully, for Annandale Village, so that gets done and finished, and we can transfer the property because we're pretty close on that. Talking to Rob, sounds like he's pretty close to getting permits as soon as he gets the property and has resolution compliance done. Trying to think what else is. I think that's most I have to come back to that and talk to Stan about getting that.
Yeah.
Capital review here.
You know, a couple of years ago.
Yeah. What'd you say?
Yeah, I was just thinking the planning bill went back to 2015.
Yeah, it's a long time. First hurdles with the state, that took a long time. Then some mistakes on our part, his part. Redo, here we are.
Yeah, the showroom does.
Yeah. And then the chips and seals are being wrapped up this week.
And Glen Eagle start in 2 weeks, something like that.
Glen Eagle's the pre-con is Thursday, so hopefully the following week they'll start.
Good. Anything from the ordinance subcommittee?
Nothing. The developments are still mostly absorbed with affordable housing.
Environmental, that's Sandra, so she couldn't make it tonight. Historic preservation.
That's me. Yeah, they haven't met. They're trying to come up with a meeting date. I haven't seen anyone. They tried to come up with a meeting date for this week, but haven't seemed to settle on that.
All right, and open space?
I think we've got 5 deer so far.
Oh, good.
It's been so warm.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't even want to go out and sit.
Miserable.
I asked Donna to confirm that. I didn't hear back from her. The other thing, if you do run into Donna, she's got it when the harvest gets reported, she's got to find out if it's a donate or if they're keeping it personally, because the donate you pay up until a certain amount. So I want to be able, I gave her a column to fill in so that we know that if we get a bill for 30 deer, that it matches up with what we have. So I put that in an email to her. I did send it to her yesterday, so. And she wants all my communication with her to go through the deer management email. Sometimes I think it's easier to just send it to her first, a regular email, because.
Well, Dakota doesn't have other email too, so he's doing some of that.
I haven't heard from Dakota. I've been hearing mostly from Donna. But at this point, I believe it's fine, because I'm CC'd on the deer orders.
Good. So coming up, what do we have? We have, what's the next meeting?
20th.
October 20th. So right now, there's nothing on that one, right?
No, we have a pending application for River Crossing, YMCA.
Yeah, I have the report ready for that. I'll get it out to you tomorrow.
That's probably not going to be ready for that one.
Yeah. No.
So that one's open. The 11-3 we're having in cell.
And there's a high likelihood I will not get that meeting.
Okay. And then, is there a second one in November?
No.
I don't think so.
There's only one. No, there is one on the 17th.
17th, right.
So that one's open too, right?
Yes.
And 12-1, we have 311. And maybe a capital review in here or something we can fit in if we can, if not. But that's what's on the, anything else that's coming that you're aware of?
No.
I'll be out on the 3rd, but I'll have somebody here.
Warn them about us.
Probably already heard.
Yeah.
Especially if John's here. It's much worse if John's here.
All right, so I'm looking at that at the end. Mr.
Group?
Second.
All in favor?
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming.
Kitchen.
There's a beat up old place over by me on the Hill Road.
Okay.
It's like you've been, the price was right, so when they came out, they looked at a couple places.
Right.